Hello, this is Shira Sherbo from Torah for the Nations. We are located in the mystical city of Sfat in northern Israel. So if you are in Israel or you're planning a trip, come visit us in Sfat. Torah for the Nations, our office is very easy to find because we're right here in the heart of the city. The tourists come through all day because this is the hub or the square that has easy access to the artist galleries, the ancient synagogues, all the restaurants, just about all the main activities in the city come from this little hub or this little square called Kikar HaMeganim. In English, it means the Defender's Square. So we are here in the center of Sfat to talk to people who feel connected to Israel and they want to know more about the Torah. So do you know that if you study the Torah, you are walking in the footsteps of people like Abraham and King David? So not too shabby. The King David writes in the Psalms, he writes a lot about the Torah. He says the Torah is better than silver and gold, and it made him wiser than his enemies. So Torah is really what has kept Israel alive. So speaking of keeping Israel alive, the state of Israel is now 70 years old. So if you came to Israel right now, you would see flags waving everywhere. Just like in the U.S. at the 4th of July, you see flags. We are celebrating Independence Day here in Israel. Flags are everywhere. And you know, so the Holocaust was 80 years ago, and Israel became a nation 70 years ago. So I was reading this article by Rabbi Shraga Simmons, and it's called Israel at 70, More Than a Startup Nation. So I was going to read to you a little bit from this article because it's a really good article about what's happened here in the last 70 years. But it says, when the state of Israel was proclaimed, the world watched with great anticipation. And they thought, if the Jews could achieve this, despite the difficult exile of the Crusades, the Inquisition, the pogroms, and the Holocaust, and then be reunited in their ancient homeland, they would surely transform the world. So this is what people were thinking 70 years ago, because the Jewish rebirth in their homeland is unprecedented in all of recorded history. So the article goes on to say that Israel's first 70 years have been nothing less than astounding. It says that Israel rose from a population of 800,000 in 1948 to 8.6 million today. And that's multiplying more than tenfold. If you contrast this to the United States population, it's only slightly doubled in that time. Okay? So we have the population in Israel multiplying more than tenfold in 70 years. It says, prior to the Holocaust 80 years ago, only 3% of Jews worldwide lived in Israel. Today, that number is 45%. So for the first time in 2,000 years, the largest Jewish population center is Israel. Okay, it says on a broader scale, Israel's growing economic, military, and diplomatic clout now ranks it one of the world's top 10 superpowers. Israel has achieved the unimaginable by reviving Hebrew as a spoken language while miraculously gathering the exiles. It says nearly a million immigrants from Middle Eastern countries, another million from the former Soviet Union, plus dramatic returns of Ethiopian Jews and lost tribes from the Far East. So, along with the remarkable emergence of Israel as a startup nation, also in the field of Torah education, it says, modern Israel has witnessed an explosion. The largest yeshiva in the world, with 9,000 students, It's here that Jewish ethics are honed, the balance of individual and communal rights, end-of-life issues, and the moral code of modern warfare. And it's here, I like this part the best, it says, it's here that Jews learn to create positive PR for God and His Torah. So I think that's what we're trying to do. I like that phrase. We're trying to create positive PR for God and His Torah. Because Maimonides writes that when somebody sees a religious person acting with kindness, compassion, and integrity and thinks, if this is what Torah does for a person, then I want it too. So each Jew is obligated to create positive PR for God and His Torah. So given all we have achieved in 70 years, the Jewish historical mission to bring the light of Torah to all humanity is not yet complete. The prophet Isaiah assures us that wisdom emanating from Jerusalem study halls will one day fill the land with knowledge of God as water covers the sea. So imagine an entire nation of Jews empowered to carry forth the message of rational, relevant wisdom for living. And with technology, the message can go forth rapidly and effectively. How beautiful this would be. So, what will be our national passion? Israel's founding father, David Ben-Gurion, he was torn. He said, well, on one hand, he proclaimed Israel's, quote, dream to be a normal people with our own prostitutes and thieves, unquote. On the other hand, appearing in 1936 before the British Commission, he declared, the Bible is our mandate to the land. So it says, here lies the dichotomy. Yes, we have succeeded in building the finest hospitals, roads, schools, and industry. Yes, we are lauded as the startup nation, a high-tech leader in science, medicine, agriculture, energy, and security, with the largest number of NASDAQ-listed companies outside of North America. These are indeed tremendous achievements, and we did it all amidst boycotts, terror, and war. But there's more. If this infrastructure is the body of Israel, Torah is our nation's soul. So, what is the Jewish mission to the world? To teach the world about ethical monotheism and how the sanctity of human life is rooted in every individual's divine image. That is why the Ten Commandments were given on two parallel tablets, five on one tablet, five on the other. The first command on the first tablet is belief in God, and it corresponds to the first command on the second tablet, do not murder. Respect for others is predicated on respect for God. So from here flows the revolutionary ideals that Judaism introduced to the world, which are universal education, justice, integrity, kindness, literacy, peace, social responsibility, charity, dignity, and equality, to name but a few. So it was during the golden era of the Holy Temple that Israel thrived as the world's spiritual and moral epicenter. Non-Jews visited the temple, which was a house of prayer for all nations, Isaiah 56:7. And rulers like the Queen of Sheba journeyed to Jerusalem to study Torah wisdom. In the process, Torah values became the bedrock of Western civilization. As non-Jewish historian Paul Johnson wrote, certainly the world without the Jews would have been a radically different place. To them we owe the basic moral furniture of the human mind. Okay, and at the end it says, we have achieved so much, yet Israel remains a work in progress. As long as corruption and abuse still exist in the world, more Torah light is needed to push away the darkness. We yearn for the day when the wolves dwell with the lamb, Isaiah 11:6, because the new, no, when we yearn for the day when the wolf dwells with the lamb becomes the new natural norm. No aggression, no duplicity. On the 70th Israel Independence Day, this is our hope and our prayer. So that's what's going on here in Israel. That's what's going on with us for Torah for the Nations. Where it's Jews and non-Jews working together to bring the Messiah. All right, that's all for now. Lehitraot.